Well, hi, everyone. As you probably know by now, Bloomer Boomer started a new broadcast interview show or program, and we're calling it About Life Passions. Now, it's a series of interviews with ordinary people, achievers, and in between about what impassions them. Is it a job, a vacation, a hobby, family member? We're talking to folks who have a passion and an engagement about what they do. And today, we're definitely talking to someone who falls into that category. She sponsors an annual retreat for women over 50, and her name is Ann Baker. She's founder of Women at Woodstock. Now, there's a name and a place in our history that prompts memories, huh? Well, today, Ann, it's just great having you here. And how did you get all this started?
I know women from all over the country. Most of my clients tend to be women in my age group. And I thought, why not get a community together for, you know, gathering together like-minded people for like a three-day retreat to share our hopes, dreams, challenges, skills, encouragement, and all of that. You don't have to connect with people down the street. You just have to connect with people. So that was sort of the impetus in doing that, and it was very successful. It was very enthusiastically embraced by other women my age. And it's just gone on ever since then.
And what a defining moment being associated with the name of Woodstock.
Well, I was trying to think of, what to call this thing and where to hold it. And I thought, you know, Woodstock is iconic for our generation. You just say Women at Woodstock, and most women kind of respond with the sense of they kind of know what it's probably all about. And I thought, well, okay, so let's have it there. Let's go to that place where it was such a pinpointed moment in our history and our consciousness back when we were crossing our threshold from teenage years into adult years. Let's go back to that same place as we're crossing the threshold from our first adulthood to our second adulthood, as Suzanne Braun Levine says in her books, and call it that. And then let's do it in October, which is, of course, the most beautiful time of year in the Northeast, and also kind of a metaphor for our lives. So it just seemed to fit and come together, and I gave it a try, and it was well received, so I've stuck with it.
Now, you may have not intended to be, but you've become now, I would consider, something of an authority on at least women over 50, and so maybe I can ask you a few questions about what you see and maybe some of the similarities and differences that people, that women are addressing at that point in life. And what kind of commonality are you seeing?
I'm seeing a lot of just this kind of upsurge in the desire simply to connect with each other. Almost like, the old, like, rap sessions or sisterhood sessions that we had back in the 60s and 70s, it's sort of coming back. And that whole sort of communal getting together, living together at least for a few days, seems to be kind of a common desire. And what seems to be happening when we get together is no one seems particularly interested in lording it over anyone else or bragging about their professional accomplishments or any of that. And there are a lot of very intimidating women who come to our events who have done tremendous things in their lives. But what they want to do when they come to Women at Woodstock is share their feelings, share their experiences, talk about their dreams and their goals, and encourage and help each other. So there's a lot of connecting going on. It's not so much sitting at a presentation and taking notes and in your notebook and learning from the expert. It's talking with each other and the expert who's doing that workshop and then continuing the conversation afterward. So a lot of connections have been made at our workshops or at our retreats, I should say, that have lasted for months and even years, where women have ended up doing business with each other, just incorporating each other into their circles of friends, even taking vacations together. It's sort of a real sort of communal thing that's kind of internet-based, but then touches the ground, every year when we get together in person.
So I guess there are lots of things that women achieve in these events that can range from simply learning from each other to the camaraderie.
Exactly. Yeah, it's we seem to need each other's comfort and hugs and encouragement as much as we need to learn what each of us has to offer. And it's a growing trend. I mean, there are other events like mine or similar to mine going on, and they seem to be growing in number year by year. It's really interesting.
Anne, in all the retreats that you're involved in and over the time that you've been doing this, do you believe you've learned anything that might apply to men?
That's an interesting question, and I have been asked that more often recently. And I guess I've been, I kind of have blinders. I've always kind of concentrated on women and feminism and, all my life. But I do think there is definitely a need among men as well. It wouldn't, I don't think, be the same style of get-together that we have. But I have had men ask me, why don't you have an event for men? And my answer is I'm not an expert in men. I have a husband. I'm very happily married, but I would not presume to know how to put together an event that would appeal to a lot of men my age. But I'd love to see something like that happen because I think everybody needs that kind of touching base and gathering together with others who've experienced what you've experienced and are at the same place in life.
So as we reach those milestone ages in life, we are constantly faced with different crossroads or a Y in the roadway, and we have to decide which direction to go, left or right. What are you learning from the women that you're working with about how to make those decisions and what they've done and how others can learn by it?
Yeah, and you're very right that why on the road is very much in front of all of us. And I think a lot of us from our generation and certainly the women who come to Women at Woodstock are the ones who kind of like to take the road less traveled, so to speak. So it isn't so easy to figure out what you want to do. There's no kind of model to follow that you've observed all of your life. So we do a lot of different workshops that help people with making those decisions. It ranges from the practical to the personal. Like we have workshops in social media and how to learn areas of social media and use them well that you maybe didn't know before. Business coaching workshops on how to present yourself in public and do better in public speaking. And we have personal workshops on healing past wounds and dealing with personal issues that you've carried with you, dealing with difficult people, that kind of thing. And then inspirational workshops, like we always have a mastermind session where everyone gets her chance to share whatever her goal or dream or challenge is, essentially for the year, and state whatever it is that she needs in order to push forward in that goal or that dream. And those who are in the mastermind session can offer to help if they have expertise in a way that would help her or the time or the resources. And it literally gets people going on whatever it is they've wanted to do but never been able to make happen.
How have you been able to face some of those key decisions in life that men and women have to always be making?
With difficulty, angst, and mental anguish, I should say. I've personally always seemed to be wanting to invent the wheel over again. So, I started these parenting magazines back when I had young children out of nothingness. I'd had experience in the publishing world in high school and college, being editors of newspapers there, but just sort of decided, you know what, this is a darn good idea. We all need it. We all need this resource, so I'm just starting it, which wasn't the easiest or the best way to go about a business plan, but it worked. As I've gotten older and my children have grown up, I've always been casting about for what it is that is a good idea going forward and also something I really want. So hence the move back to Redondo Beach where I grew up after 30 years back east where I loved being but wasn't necessarily the best place for me to stay, as I got older.
And it can be a very fearful time.
It can be. And if you're simply talking about something as simple as starting your own business, it's a very scary thing to do on whatever scale. And I think in some ways it's tends to be harder for women in my generation because we haven't necessarily been raised and groomed psychologically from birth to be leaders in our fields or to be blazing new trails. And so we tend to have more difficulty than men do in some practical aspects, such as a very common denominator among women who are small business owners is they tend to feel as though if I can save a nickel and do that work myself, I should do that. I should not, you know, indulge myself by hiring an assistant to do that thing, whatever it is, balancing the books or, you know, putting labels on envelopes or whatever. And that's just kind of the way we are. It's kind of the way our minds were set back when we were little kids. And it's hard to break that. And it makes it harder to succeed in business because we tend to hold ourselves back on minutia and hands-on where it's not furthering our business in the way that we could.
Old habits die hard.
They certainly do. And I think of it as a kind of a self-esteem problem that's generation-wide. It doesn't apply to everyone, of course, but it's a common thing. And it has plagued me, for sure. I find it I have to really sit down and think before I'm going to hire someone to do things that I've been doing myself. And every time I've done it, I've been so glad. But I've taken too long to do it every time. And I know other women largely are doing the same thing.
Of course, many women living alone still have to make all those important decisions about life as well as some of the financial concerns. So that adds to the challenge of what to do next.
They certainly do. And it's interesting that you brought that up because the number of women who are living alone, either through a choice of being single or divorce or losing a spouse, is growing tremendously. I believe it's 1 in 3 boomer women. And, you know, financially, that's not easy to do. And also, it's not necessarily the best thing for your social life and even for your physical health. Studies have shown that people who live with others in whatever kind of arrangement it might be, typically do better, stay healthier, stay more active longer than those who live alone. And I actually am working with a client right now on a very exciting business launch of hers, which is going to be a roommate-finding service specifically for women over 50. And that's a big leap for a lot of us. We've all grown up with either you stay in your home, you're married all your life, or you God forbid, go into an assisted living facility. A lot of us now are considering putting our assets together with good friends or even people we meet through a matching service and living together and even buying a home together. And some women are doing that very successfully, but it's kind of breaking the mold. It's such a great idea, but it takes a little while to get your head around it, as this might be my plan for the future.
So, Anne, you may address this in some of your workshops, but the fact of the matter is many people at our point in life, we may have been divorced, lost a spouse, something happened, or we are ready to take on a partner again in life. What have you been able to talk about, or what have you been able to find as far as the approach to dating again?
Yeah, my best advice really is to get online and find some resources. Anything from a dating website, which can, you know, the statistics on dating websites like Match.com and eHarmony are pretty surprising. They're pretty convincing that is not necessarily a bad route to go. And but also when you go online, you can find meetup groups to get together with other people who are interested in something that you're interested in as well. You're not consigned to the typical friends introduce you or you go to a church function or you go to the local bar, which doesn't work so well when you're 60 compared to when you're 20, and maybe it doesn't work so well when you're 20 either. But there are such resources online. That would definitely be my advice. And then there are also resources that aren't matchmaking but are helpful. Like there's a great site called Date Like a Grown-Up, and it's for women over 40. Bobby Palmer is the founder of that and gives daily advice. She sends out great emails and does videos and does seminars helping women over 40 date and do it intelligently and well and have a lot of fun and maybe find their, you know, their mate for life. So being online to me is almost the secret to just about anything you want to do these days.
And the shame of dating online isn't what it was a few years ago.
No, it's not. And, you know, the other thing that's kind of funny, I have a friend, my husband and I have a friend who's a guy who's divorced a few years ago, and he's been using online dating services here and there, you know, looking for someone new. And he said he has learned, and I don't mean by bad experience, but he's learned that there are sites where women share information about men who are on these dating sites. And he said, if you're a jerk and you go out and use a dating site and do, you know, jerky things, that's going to show up. And other women are going to find out about it, and you're going to be sort of an outcast. So it's great that women have this ability to share with each other behind the scenes also. No, and, a good safety valve there.
And let's just talk a little bit about the work world. Now, not everyone is ready to retire or can retire. And, of course, then the whole world of employment and jobs become really critically important. What have you been able to find about that?
A lot of people I know who've been afraid that they're going to lose their job or have lost their jobs have said, I don't see how I'm going to get hired again. I'm over 50 or I'm 60. Who's going to hire me? And the first thing you have to do is get over that mindset, which is not easy, because it is very possible to send in a resume and get called for an interview and walk in the door and literally see the expression on the interviewer's face change. And you can tell they're thinking, oh my God, this person's old, you know. So it can happen, whether it's overt or stated or not, but you have to believe it's not going to happen, and you have to know how to look in the right places and how to present yourself well. And again, there are great resources. There's a woman named Mary Eileen Williams, based up in San Francisco, who has a radio and an online interview program called Feisty After 50, and she's an expert. She was an HR not director, I think, but consultant, and has written books on how to go about finding a new job and do it well. And she concentrates on people who are over 50, men and women, and gives great advice. But finding resources like that, I think, is essential. It's really not easy, especially in this economy, just to send out some resumes and get a job. Not easy.
Well, we've been listening to Ann Baker. She's founder of Women at Woodstock. That's womenatwoodstock.com. Well, very good, Ann. That's been really interesting, and I sure appreciate your time.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.